The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to turn our attention, if we can, for a few minutes to Syria. So you would have seen the news over the weekend, or indeed the news today, because the authorities there have announced an end of the operation against the loyalists of the deposed President Bashar al-Assad. But it's after nearly 1,000 civilians have been killed in what has been the worst violence since Assad's overthrow. With me to discuss is Dom Jolly, the author, comedian and broadcaster. Dom, it's an absolute pleasure. So thank you so much for speaking to us today. I know this is a part of the world that you know well and a part of the world you've been paying close attention to. Lots of people listening to this show won't have been paying it a huge degree of attention in recent months. And what they would have seen over the weekend was kind of maybe a pretty sobering moment or moments for those who maybe thought peace and stability was on its way.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously Gaza has taken up most of the sort of Middle East news bandwidth recently. And I think people only really have time for one Middle East conflict at a time. And I think because Syria had gone on for so long, and then supposedly with Bashar al-Assad being sent off to some weird dictator's retirement home in Moscow, that maybe Syria was going to have a bit of peace and quiet. And it did look like that initially. The new leader of Syria, Ahmed al-Shara, is a strange thing, a moderate ex-Al-Qaeda person, which sort of seems a bit weird. But and certainly did start with an intent of kind of taking over Syria and almost doing, not quite South African levels, but basically pardoning any ex-member of the Ba'ath Party or people that worked for Bashar al-Assad, unless they'd been directly involved in, you know, mass executions, murders, that kind of thing. And there has been relative stability in Syria, but just recently what's been happening is most of Bashar al-Assad's supporters and certainly Bashar al-Assad's family are Alawites. And Alawites are a sect of Shia Islam, and they mainly come from the area in Syria above where I grew up, Lebanon, on the Mediterranean coast of Syria. And so most of them have kind of gone to that area. And that's where the trouble has really started, with, I think, people feeling that a lot of people have got away with murders and got away with massacres. And there have been some reprisals against people that have been named in various massacres and murders. Mm. And then the Alawites themselves are now retaliating against soldiers and representatives of the new government. So that's what started it.
So how much control then does Ahmed al-Shara have over what is happening?
I think he has. Syria's in a strange state at the moment because the sort of central part of Syria is mainly desert, but the sort of towns like Damascus, Homs, Hama, which are the central towns in Damascus, I think his government has pretty good control over it. The far east of the country is Kurdish, and it is, I think, probably in the end will separate and become some sort of Kurdish state. And that leaves this coastal strip, which, like Lebanon, is quite mountainous. It's more difficult to keep control over. And also everyone that lives there pretty much are Alawites, who are, you know, people that were in power and are now kind of retreated into this sort of little mountain kingdom, and that is much more difficult to control.
I know when we spoke to you a few months ago, you suggested that, you know, Syria might ultimately break up into three distinct areas. Are we seeing possibly the beginnings of that?
I mean, again, you know, I'm absolutely no expert in this at all, but I that is what I felt, in the same sense that Lebanon's like a very small version of Syria, in that it's an artificial country to some extent. So there's Syria, much more of an artificial country, just drawn up with random lines by the French and the English after the First World War. But I think, yes, I think the far east of the country, definitely it looks like that's certainly going to stay under Kurdish control, although the Kurds are fighting the Turks, so that'll be problems up there. The Alawite area is more tricky because, firstly, it's the only access Syria has to the sea. You have the main oil you have Syria's main oil refinery there, which they rely on, and you also have a massive Russian naval base in Tartus. So all those things are things over which people will fight. The Russians and Hezbollah, both of whom were very active in supporting Bashar al-Assad, have now been weakened by Ukraine and the fight in Lebanon. So everything's up in the air, as usual. There's no clear answer.
And to what degree, I mean, the Russians and the Turks would have a stake then in any settlement. But to what degree have they kind of got, have they got influence over any settlement?
Well, the Russians, I think, the Russians are, you know, stretched at the moment. Ukraine has absolutely hammered them. They've lost, you know, the government, which they were supporting in Damascus. But also they've lost, Hezbollah has lost its power because of the Israeli attack in Lebanon. So they're very, very weakened. So I think, to me, the best the Russians can hope for is to hang on to their really crucial naval base, which is their only access out into the Mediterranean, apart from their base in Crimea, which is, again, one of the reasons they took the Crimea in Sebastopol. So I think they're just going to try and keep a kind of militarized, a sort of like a like America has Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, a kind of little militarized base. So I don't think they have much influence or much appetite at the moment. I don't think they've got the bandwidth to be able to keep fighting there.
Can you imagine any scenario in which you have a kind of a section of eastern and western Syria that are cleaved away from that central desert that includes Damascus and Homs and other places that doesn't involve some degree of violence?
I think there's always going to be problems with the Alawite coastal area because that's such a tight-knit community and they're so linked to, you know, the two generations of Assads running Syria. But I can't see them, you know, I did say originally that I felt they might break away. I think that's almost impossible. I don't think the Syrian government could live with that because, I mean, you know, as I said, it's access to the sea. It's a vast, important part of Syria. So I some sort of solution will have to happen there. I think the east, which is mainly desert, not massively crucial economically or anything to the Syrian government, I can see probably going off to the Kurds, who will then fight for it with the Turks. You know, I mean, it's the Middle East. It's, you know, it's game on all the time, really.
Yeah, then that kind of brings me to the next question, which was, what would be the impact of all of this on surrounding countries?
Well, it's interesting. It's like Lebanon has now gone back into relative stability again following the Israeli invasion. You know, the Israelis tend to invade about once every 10 years and sort of shake Lebanon up and ruin infrastructure, and then it takes Lebanon 10 years to rebuild. But Lebanon's relatively sound at the moment. Turkey is just worried about its security. Turkey's worried about terrorists infiltrating over from remnants of Al-Qaeda into Turkey, but also Kurds. So that border is going to stay unstable. And then below you've got Jordan, who probably are going to remain untouched, although there's a massive refugee camp, which I visited right on the border of Jordan and Syria, which, you know, it becomes, I think, the fourth largest town in Jordan. So people are coming back from that into Syria. So everything up in the air. And then Iraq is relatively stable at the moment, but again, it's got a porous border. So it never stops.
There's a sense that when you look at the global picture, we're living through a redrawing of the fault lines and maybe going back to an era of kind of spheres of influence and things like this and separation between the US and Europe. How much does all of that play into what is happening in this particular region? Or is this just, and this kind of sounds almost defeatist, but is it just the kind of cyclical nature of conflict in that part of the world?
I think there is a cyclical nature. There clearly is. I think what's interesting, if you look at what's happening in Ukraine, in a sense, that's a, you know, whatever, I'm not saying I'm on any side of this, but that's a redrawing of borders, because when Ukraine became independent, and broke away from the Soviet Union, the Russian view is that certainly the areas that the Russians control now in Ukraine up to the Dnieper were essentially should have been still part of Russia. And that's really what they're after. And in the same sense here, but the difference is that is a very clear sphere of influence. And, you know, America's now saying that's Russia's sphere of influence, so we're going to leave you alone there. The Middle East is different because no one has a clear sphere of influence there. It's not American, it's not Russian, and it's not Chinese. And before, it was always, you know, everyone had their little puppet state, and Syria was propped up by the Russians. And everyone's kind of pulled out a bit now. Everyone's kind of like, we're not going to get involved. We don't want another Vietnam type feeling. Everyone's very busy with Ukraine. So I don't know. It's a bit of a free-for-all at the moment.
It is.
If I knew, yeah. I mean, I'm talking to you from Cheltenham right now, which is, again, a very Irish-related thing. It's where I live. If I knew, I'd be betting on every Cheltenham thing if I knew that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, if it's not too jarring a juxtaposition, we're going to be talking about Cheltenham later in the show. So we'll have some tips.
Here, you know, so but yeah. I don't know any winners there either.
All right. Well, stay listening, Don. We'll have a few tips for you later on. Listen, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. And thanks a million for taking a few minutes. Dom Jolly, the author, comedian and broadcaster.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.